for you, the Pink Floyd music is so different from other bands. For example, Joy Boy.
Yeah.
And for him, he came from America,
yeah.
US. So blues is a blues, but it's a different blues from America, not American blues.
Yeah.
So that's something impressive for him. Like that, so his talk is more from the point of view of outsiders. But you are English. So
yeah.
How did you feel?
Oh, I just liked them because they were different. And I'd always been a jazz fan and a suspicious of pop music.
Mm.
But because of the Beatles and the Stones, you know, one realised that there was something there. So in some senses, I was talking with Hoppy, we were going to set up this record label, DNA.
Mm.
The idea was that it should have avant-garde music, classical music, pop music, folk music, whatever avant-garde folk music is, jazz.
Mm.
The idea was that it should be avant-garde because we were very avant-garde. Yeah. The Floyd were avant-garde.
Yeah.
Because when I heard them, I couldn't work out who played what.
Mm.
Therefore, the way they improvised, they weren't like a jazz band.
Mm.
And they weren't like a pop band, but they played the sort of blues and Louis Louis and those basic Dust My Broom and various sort of basic blues thing, which at that time, the blues revival was very strong in England. So all the bands were playing blues music, all the bands in the pubs, you know, the kids were going to. A lot of it, you know, Eric Clapton, Peter Green and all that was all very blues-based, you know, Jimmy Page and so on. But what I liked was that the Floyd paid those sort of songs, but when they improvised, they didn't improvise like normally, you know, you'd see a sort of blues band and then the guy would sing and then the band would play and then there'd be a lead guitar solo.
Mm.
And there'd be lots of... and then somebody else would play a bit more sort of jazzy.
Mm.
The thing I liked about the Floyd, and this is what I always remembered, was that I couldn't work out who was playing what.
Mm.
There was a wash of improvised music which seemed to be based, I suspect, on one chord, and I couldn't work out where the noise was coming from. I could hear hear and see the bass, I could hear and see the drums, I could see Sid singing, and I could see he was playing the guitar, and there was a keyboard player, and the sort of improvisations they were doing, which was very much like the sort of, the improvisations you find on the Floyd's first album on the Interstellar Overdrive, was very much what they did, and that's what they did in their live concert, their live gigs early on. Mm. They were very improvisational, and they were very it was improvised and instrumental.
Mm-hmm.
So there would be a bit of vocal, and then there'd be an instrumental, and then a bit more vocal, and because of the technology at the time, it was very hard in a lot of the places we played to hear the vocals.
Mm.
You know, by that time you could get electric guitars through amplifiers. So they were not loud. Drums were loud.
Mm-hmm.
It was very hard to get vocals loud enough to go over the top.
Oh.
So I think that had a lot to do with why the band was so instrumental heavy.
Oh.
Because it was a way you could get heard. You know, if you tried to do something in a sort of a rock club or pop club, it was very hard to do anything subtle.
Mm. So, but the live shows for you for clubs, the PA, the stage is different for him, for them?
Yeah, well, what we put up a screen behind them.
Mm-hmm.
And Andrew and I had built a light rig for them, the first light rig.
Mm-hmm.
Which was just bits of wood, which we just got from the wood yard, and we cut up, and then we would screw in a lighting fitting, a fixed spotlight. Mm. So we fixed that, and then we put in two bits of wood up there, which were attached to that base, and then with drawing pins, we put some gel. We got some coloured gel, you know, lighting gel.
Yeah.
And that was the lights.
Mm-hmm.
And because they were fixed spots, they didn't have a long range, so they had to be very close to the band.
Mm-hmm.
So if the keyboard player was playing there, the lights were probably there, so they're very hot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, indeed.
But also, because we had a screen behind them,
mm-hmm.
there were these huge shadows.
Uh-huh.
And that was half of the light show, was the shadows, because...
Mm-hmm.
as you flick the lights, the shadows jumped.
Yeah.
And that was that. A lot of the lighting show was this accidental. We didn't realize when we set it up that that's what we did. We thought we were just lighting the band, and we realized what we were doing something. And then, because of the lighting people that Hoppy had brought in from America, we'd seen the oil, you know, movement lights, which the Americans had brought in. And so we found out how to make those work. Joe somebody or another, and then later on Peter Wynne Wilson, you know, the people who did the lights for the Floyd. It's the same as the sort of the lights in the lava lamps.
Mm-hmm.
Same, it's just coloured oil in a thing, and it sort of moves.
So the artists go back to US, but you, by your way.
Yeah, I mean, because in a way, I think from we'd always seen the Floyd as being a psychedelic show. So it was a lights and sound, and it was an immersive experience. It was always what it was meant to be. But I don't think it ever would have been had not Hoppy brought in these guys with their lighting, because it gave us an idea of what you could do with lights. Mm. We'd always sort of thought it should be a sort of a sound and light experience, because the idea was the Floyd would be like a sort of psychedelic experience, like taking drugs. Mm-hmm. It would just take you away. That was always the idea, that, you know, we would provide an environment which would give you a psychedelic experience.
Psychedelic, the 60s, always people say psychedelic, but psychedelic is a term is not easy to understand. If you say different terms, how do you say psychedelic?
Oh, God, it's just a word, I think, you know. It's just sort of, it was always seen to be something to do with expanding your consciousness. I think that's, it's probably, if you look it up in a psychedelia, if you look it up in a dictionary, it'll say something about expanding consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And that all came from, you know, Aldous Huxley and Timothy Leary and people like that. Mm-hmm. And it was about somehow, by taking drugs, you expanded your sort of your mental horizon.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't a prisoner of where you were and what you could see and what you could do, mm-hmm. but you could, your mind would better take you into new and creative things, which in a sense tied in with a lot of art, mm-hmm. and especially sort of things like Picasso and all the sort of modern art at the turn of the 20th century. You know, or sort of abstract art, which was no longer about pictures of pretty people, but it was about
sometimes surrealism also.
Surrealism, exactly, was also part of that. Mm. That these ideas that you wasn't doing pictures of the seaside or the countryside or some famous person, but could be something which was a sort of more general opening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Braque and people like a lot of the abstract art of the early 20th century.